information is free.
From the law?
Of course.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
We care.
Here to border
it shows.
From the law?
Of course.
The country.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
This exercise is an effective way to ensure all interagency partners are prepared for game day. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 156 of Media Monarchy. It's February 5th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. All your alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Looking at Black Sunday, Super Bowl, Jockorama, Threatagenda rising, and police state exercising, terror drills and air trials, war without end, and a geopolitical news purge, Bush, Obama, Black Ops, and the Central Intelligence connections, Econo crash, debt bombs, IRS shotguns, and worldwide security concerns. It's all here, February 5th, 2010, episode 156 of MediaMonarchy.com.
How about them hogs?
Thank you, man.
Another.
Jacquarama, Dead Kennedys, from their seminal album Bedtime for Democracy. That one takes me back to the bad old days of junior high. As my longtime dislike of the sports industrial complex rises to the top. It's a star-studded weekend, my friends. Black Sunday, Super Bowl, and police state drills. All that and so much more is here for you in episode 156 from Media Monarchy. It's February 5th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Coming to you live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, thanks to the mothership, Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. Simulcasting out, thanks to zeropointradio.com. It's 11 a.m. Mountain Time, blasting out in Wyoming, in Casper, 92.3 FM. And 1670 AM. Huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. Hop over there, get in the chat room. On the East Coast, it's 1 in the afternoon, and we're blasting out on the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net. My longest affiliate, been carrying Media Monarchy since episode 20, I believe. So huge thanks to Rob and all the folks at revereradio.net. PhantomRadio.org in Boulder, Colorado, 93.9. Free Radio Olympia, my neighbors to the north, Olympia, Washington, frolympia.org, 98.5 FM. 104.1 in Berkeley, California. BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net. 87.9 in Canton, Georgia. Thanks to Ground Zero Radio. StickAM.com/Ground Zero Radio. 90.7 FM. KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska. Thanks to Wolfgang and everybody at OneSkyRadio.com. Glenn at CascadiaPublicRadio.org.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
And Jeff at Radio23.org. Those and all of you guys out there who help spread the word and the information we're trying to put across here, you can further that by connecting with me on all the social portals. Facebook.com/Media Monarchy, MySpace.com/Media Monarchy, Twitter, YouTube, email at Yahoo or Gmail, MediaMonarchy@Yahoo. Signed into Skype, signed into Instant Messenger. You can get the shows anytime. The audio shows, the live shows, the B-sides, the interviews, the mixtapes, in the video series with CorbettReport.com, The New World Next Week. iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. Subscribe. And our quote at the beginning, this exercise is an effective way to ensure all interagency partners are prepared for game day. That was Major Dean speaking about the terror drills that were going on in Miami leading up to the Super Bowl as part of Amalgam Virgo. But we're going to get to all that in just a minute. A little bit after 10 a.m. here. Like I said, February 5th, 2010. We always like to glance at Google News and see what's going on. As the whole East Coast seems to brace for some monster blizzard that's bearing down, Meanwhile, Tea Party Convention aims to boost the movement. This by way of CNN. A grassroots movement that exploded last year is now working on its underpinnings is what's being billed as the first national Tea Party Convention getting underway. Kicked off with remarks from Tom Tancredo of Colorado. Talking about them immigrants. Talking about Barack Hussein Obama. However, a spokesman for the Tea Party Nation, the group that organized the convention, said Tancredo's speech may have provided some red meat, but termed it problematic. It doesn't further the dialogue. Contrary to Tancredo's remarks, the Tea Party is not about name-calling, said Rand Paul, whose campaign for a U.S. Senate seat in Kentucky is supported by the Tea Party. There are politicians who have gone into the movement and tried to become a part of the movement, but really the movement is about individual people. Activists mostly concerned about the fiscal solvency, or rather the insolvency, of our nation. We got to do something, and it's not going to come from career politicians. So saith Rand Paul, again, running for a Senate seat in Kentucky, the son of the Honorable Dr. Ron Paul, campaign for liberty. And we've referenced how real grassroots movements, generally, if they start to pick up any amount of speed, will be infiltrated and hijacked and misdirected. You see folks like Glenn Beck. I believe Sarah Palin will be at the Tea Party conference. So it still has to come back to you and me, and your friends, and your neighbors, and your parents. We're nonpartisan here on MediaMonarchy.com. We know that both sides of the phony political bird, those wings are broken, and they fly in the same direction. I do a lot of data mining. It's open source intelligence, and I collect it all on MediaMonarchy.com as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. And implore you to spread the information yourself. Do the research and homework for yourself. Don't believe what I'm saying. Go find out. Find out for yourself. So the way we're going to get into it, sticking with our Jocorama theme, we're going to start off with some of the things swirling around in the media and the memes, pop a culture, if you will. So top of the page, actually, right now on MediaMonarchy.com, media memes, Jocorama, save my soul. And we're going to start off with an amazing clip. Mark Dice, activist, markdice.com, theresistancemanifesto.com. Regardless of your religious leanings, Mark Dice is fairly fundamentalist Christian. But he is an amazing truth activist and is really good at getting out there in the media, on the talk shows, on the radio shows. And he does such a good job never being steered off of knowing that your time is limited when you're on the mainstream media, when you want to start talking about 9/11 truth or the new financial world order or the Federal Reserve or the Bilderberg Group. Big Pharma, any of those things. Mark Dice recently made it on, I believe it was a radio show first, or maybe a sports television show, but then a CBS station played it. So locally out of California now, CBS, of course, have pulled the video from YouTube, but youtube.com/Mark Dice still has it. And this is good advice. Boycott the Super Bowl and read a book instead.
Super Bowl is just 72 hours away. Everyone is excited. Well, almost everyone. Let's check into the Sports Lodge.
Live from the Jack in the Box studio, it's the Sports Lodge with Roger Lodge.
All right, Roger, I'm
understand you have a very special guest, and somewhat controversial, too, huh?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. My guest, Mark Dice, has a lot of interesting views on a lot of different things. But this morning, we are focusing on one thing and one thing only. Our guest, Mark Dice, says we should boycott the Super Bowl. Mr. Dice, good morning, sir.
Good morning, and I would rather have us focus on something other than the Super Bowl, actually. When we have a society that knows and cares more about sports than they do about events that actually affect their lives, I think that's a problem. So I want to take this opportunity to urge people to boycott the Super Bowl, to turn it off, to read a book, and we can learn about some of the serious issues that affect us, the Bilderberg Group, the Federal Reserve. Maybe if we got as excited about politics and yelled and screamed as loud as we do for sports, then maybe we could prevent the scumbags in Washington, D.C. from flushing this country down the toilet.
Let me ask you this. What about the fact that on Sunday, I'm going to sit around with my family, my three children, 21, 3, and 5. We're going to sit around, we're going to enjoy a nice meal, and we're going to enjoy a good, healthy competition between two teams that have worked very hard to get there. The Saints have a lot to play for here for the city of New Orleans. What do you say to people like myself who say this is a wonderful opportunity for family time?
I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people to educate their families about the Bilderberg Group, about the certain political issues. Maybe you should watch a documentary film by Alex Jones, watch Fall of the Republic or The Obama Deception, and get involved. Instead of yelling and screaming about some people chasing a ball on a grass field, how about we yell and scream about the politicians selling our country out? And
Mark, the only yelling I'm going to do is probably at my wife when I need another sandwich. It's not going to be any yelling.
Wow.
But let me tell you something.
What about what this does for the economy and how many millions of dollars this generates with, you know, just, you know, in Miami, never mind, you know, all the people ordering pizzas and doing whatever. This is great for the economy.
I don't think it offsets the damage that Obama and his criminal doing for us. Think that I'm a fan of President Bush. Bush is a war criminal, should be in prison, too.
Wait a second. Let me get back to what we're talking about. Let me ask you this. When I'm watching a sporting event with my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old, and on a first down, the Colts get 3 yards. You need 10 yards to get a first down. And my 5-year-old says to me, well, they got 3 yards, Daddy. They need 7 more yards for a first down. There's a little education here involved as well. And I don't think there's anything wrong with watching a good, healthy, athletic event. And if you use it right with your family, I think it's a really good thing, Mark.
Sports is really the opiate of the masses and contributes to the downfall of the country. So I urge everybody to boycott the Super Bowl. Go to MarkDice.com and watch some of my educational videos or the other works and read a book. Turn the television off.
I disagree, Mr. Dice.
All right, you know what? We're going to take this back here. Roger Lodge, thanks so much for your time and some unusual and controversial conversation, to say the least. We appreciate it, Roger. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Continuing on with our show here, Mark Kritsky, please talk to us about that forecast.
Yeah, let's talk about that forecast. A little bit of education indeed. I love it how all the hosts go apoplectic and don't really know how to deal with stuff like that. Okay. So again, you notice anytime they veer it off, Mark Dice stays on and is plugging keywords to Google, videos, articles, websites, secret societies. That's pretty much how you do it. And yes, that was Roger Lodge, the former host of the show Blind Date. So just to give you kind of perspective of what we're up against. Women paid 10 cents to sew $80 NFL Peyton Manning jerseys. This by way of the National Labor Committee, NLCnet.org. They've got the breakdown. They've got the work order. Sweatshops coming to America. Again, as we've said many, many times here, as the fake economy crashes and they set up or finish setting up their new financial world order, the only jobs left will be a snitch for the state. Now, I saw this article from Time Magazine, of course, founded by the Skull and Bones boys, Henry Luce. behind Pepsi's choice to skip this year's Super Bowl. For advertisers, it's never easy to sit out the Super Bowl. Sure, the spots are pricey, between $2.5 million and $3 million for this year's game, which is, of course, this Sunday, February 7th. But the 100 million strong audience, which includes a slew of people tuning in solely to dissect the commercials, almost guarantees instant brand buzz. No one knows this better than Pepsi, which has produced some memorable Super Bowl spots. Sweltering Cindy Crawford sipping on a Pepsi while a couple of adolescent boys admire the can. Britney Spears gyrating, stupid dancing bears, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, Pepsi is sitting out this Super Bowl. Not spending the money, of course, in the Econo crash. That article goes on and on and on and on. But what it reminded me of, and what I think is far more educational and entertaining, edutainment, as KRS-One would call it, that instantly reminded me of the band, and I use the term loosely, Negative Land. If you've never heard of the band Negative Land, you got to check them out. They are the amazing cut-and-paste, copyright-flaunting, intellectual copyright-appropriating group that have been giving it to corporate media for quite some time. You may recall their single, The Letter U and the Numeral 2, which was basically samples of U2 with stolen outtakes of Casey Kasem getting angry and cursing on outtakes of his show. They were sued, of course, by U2 and then in turn by their own record label for getting them in all the trouble in the first place. But that's what they do. That may seem fairly common now in the realm of Danger Mouse and Girl Talk and samples and mashups and all that stuff. Negative Land put out an album in 1997 called Dispepsy. D-I-S-P-E-P-S-I. Dispepsy. It's basically structured to be a statement against the major soft drink companies and contains many samples of advertisements therefrom. The album was an attack on the highly competitive soft drink companies Coca-Cola and Pepsi, who flood the airwaves with advertisements. The title, Dispepsy, is a variation of dyspepsia, which is, of course, synonymous with indigestion. What I was unable to find, and again, Negative Land runs their own independent label now, Sealand. And I highly implore you to check out more of their work, but I'm going to give you some. The main thing I remember about this record, Dispepsy, and I was working at a college radio station back east, WSHC, when we got the record in. And inside, there was basically a sort of mission statement, an open letter to Coke and Pepsi. Basically saying, you guys flood the world with advertisements, spending billions of dollars on it. Do you really think there are people out there who don't know what Coke and Pepsi are? Why don't you guys cut your advertising budgets in half if, say, you only advertised every other day or every other month? Think of the millions and billions you would save. Also giving us, the masses, a little bit of a break from their schwoostikas, and of course Coke, and the Nazis, and Pepsi, and South America, and all that. So this was an amazing case, I think, of life imitating art, which was imitating politics? So Pepsi's running no ads on the Super Bowl. This just reminded me of the amazing cut-and-paste audio terrorist known as Negative Land. Let's listen to two different cuts from Dispepsy. Why is this commercial and the greatest taste around?
Cut. How great was that? Is it worth the money?
Okay, here we go, folks. Start the wind. And the smoke. And play back.
I need a Pepsi. Cut. That's great. Let's look at these.
Why is this commercial?
Going to sell Pepsi. Hi, I'm me, and I'm using this to sell you this.
Pepsi.
Hi, I'm me, and I'm using this to sell you this.
this.
Pepsi.
I'm using this to sell you this.
Feel good about Pepsi.
I'm using this to sell you this.
It's that last 1 foot, I call it, in the supermarket, where that 1 foot between your hand reaching this direction or that direction, it is an emotional one. And that's the bonding you want to get. 1 foot, I call it. That 1 foot, 1 foot, 1 foot. Cut.
You're picking people to represent traditionally perceived roles for black people. Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben, the servants, the original role here, the black athletes, use the role that people are comfortable with seeing blacks in to help sell a product. But don't use blacks in roles that are expanding the parameters. They're putting blacks in new and different settings.
Hi, I'm Herschel Walker. I'm not just running through a line when I say, hi, I'm Herschel Walker.
I need a Pepsi.
Feel good about Pepsi. Pepsi. Feel good about Pepsi.
Testimonials by celebrities.
And that's why Michael, whose face you like, or we know that a large number of people are crazy about him, as soon as you see him, say, oh, I wonder what this is going to be about.
You're a whole new generation.
$5 million to star in 2 90-second eras. Pepsi.
Are you sure you want to use a celebrity?
Condolences of every person in Pepsi Cola are with you.
I got fired by my boss. Pepsi.
We have to look great for Pepsi Cola.
I nailed Jesus to the cross. Pepsi.
Well, you gotta pay the price.
Powdered mashed potatoes in the cupboard for 3 years. Alcoholic husband dropping, frantic wives
to
tears. Poor widow's house burned down. Pepsi.
Genius of a soft drink world. Get the goddamn company pay the bill.
Tractors plowing down the hills. Pepsi.
It's a self-wrecking Pepsi at the general store.
Ghastly stench of puppy mills. Pepsi. Sheets with stinking urine.
I have a hard feeling so.
Bloody shards of glass. Butt flaps burned by hot exhaust. Drunkards passing gas.
I don't see how much you see.
Children dying of disease. Pepsi.
That was two cuts from Negative Land's 1997 album, Dyspepsy, Why Is This Commercial, and The Greatest Taste Around, all using samples and appropriated clips and videos and commercials and internal video promotions. That's the way you do it. So I like to think so far we're setting and showing some good examples, Mark Dice, of how to spread truth news when you make it on the mainstream media. Negative Land, how to comment on the socio-political scene using fair use and a whole lot of creativity. So that's my whole spiel on Negative Land and the story of Dyspepsy. As we go down the media meme still, Jockarama, save my soul. We want to remind you, of course, of the flashback. of the commercial last year that ran. This was earlier around the launch of everyone's favorite Hulu. You remember that commercial with Alec Baldwin about TV being a plot to turn your brain into mush so that they, the lizard people, could eat them? A nod and a wink to knowing the conspiracy theorists are out there, but making fun of it all. And again, tying in, if you have questions about 9/11 or the Federal Reserve, that you believe in lizard people and chupacabras. So definitely hit that flashback. Super Bowl ad jokes that TV turns your brain into mind-controlled mush. There's an interesting piece by way of the Wall Street Journal, the media and corporate free speech. This ties in, of course, with the recent Supreme Court decision about campaign finance and corporatism. Jumping over to allgov.com, Virginia school district bans Anne Frank's Naughty Bits after one complaint. Interestingly enough, speaking of Alec Baldwin, and of course the show 30 Rock, set in Rockefeller, no strangers to placing propaganda within the show, whether it's about global warming, vaccines, what have you. One of the stars of that show, a guy, an actor named Rip Torn. Drunken and armed Rip Torn arrested after bank break-in. This story, interestingly enough, turned into saying, oh, he was just kind of drunk and confused. But in actuality, he smashed into a bank's window with a loaded weapon while he was hammered. Of course, it's always entertaining to look at fucked up celebrities' mugshots. Shameful joy, though it may be. The last thing we're going to note here on this Media Memes posting is a video from last Sunday's Grammys. Now, of course, you know, it's a big star-studded kickoff to the year with all the occult media rituals and award shows and massive predictive programming, televisual psyops. You've got to watch Beyoncé's Police State performance at the Grammys. You should probably do it with the sound turned down. But basically, she starts her triumphant piece at the Grammys with stormtroopers, police state thugs, all dressed in black, marching in behind her. They're, of course, the dancers. See, men in black ski masks, smart men, they're your friends. They might even just bust in to a musical number with you. So we've taken a long time to kind of get rolling here, although we've been rolling all along here on episode 156 of MediaMonarchy.com, but it's been a little light, and maybe that's the sugar to help the medicine go down, because we're going to start to get into it now. And what swirls around, not only this weekend, but just everything we see rolling out day by day, by week, the frog boil, if you will, turning it up slowly. So we'll sit in the pot and cook. This was posted last Saturday on MediaMonarchy.com. FAA and NORAD to control airspace around Super Bowl 44. This coming from AVStop.com. I believe it's aviation news. The FAA has established a temporary flight restriction around Dolphin Stadium in Miami, Florida for Super Bowl 44 on February 7, 2010. NORAD, North American Aerospace Defense Command fighters, will be busy well before Super Bowl Sunday, preparing to protect the skies around the stadium in Miami for game day. Exercise Amalgam Virgo 10, Miami, will be held last Thursday in the greater Miami area to allow interagency partners the chance to practice temporary flight restriction violation procedures. Amalgam Virgo 10 comprises a series of training flights held in coordination with the FAA, Customs and Border Patrol, Civil Air Patrol, Connors Eastern Air Defense Sector. Residents in the area can expect flights to begin around midnight last Thursday and continue for about 2 hours early into last Friday morning. Major General Gary Dean, Connor Commander, that's C-O-N-R, This exercise in Miami is an effective way to ensure all interagency partners are prepared for game day. The exercise will test command and control and execution procedures for air defense for the Super Bowl and other like venues throughout the United States. These exercises are carefully planned and closely controlled to ensure Connor's rapid response capability. Connor has conducted exercise flights of this nature throughout the U.S. since the start of Operation Noble Eagle, the command's response to the terrorist attacks on 9/11. Defending America's skies is our number one priority since 9/11. General Dean said, whether it's Super Bowl Sunday or any other Sunday, the men and women of Connor are always on alert. It's worth noting, we'll do it right now, and probably again, we pay attention to the terror drills and the military exercises, especially when they have the same name. Amalgam Virgo was just one of the dozen-plus military war games being run on the morning of 9/11. Wargaming, you know, just what so would happen if a commercial jet were hijacked and crashed into government public buildings. That drill somehow went live. You got the air traffic controller saying, oh, the drill started early today. No, is this real world or is this exercise? Confusing the situation. Of course, the exact same thing on 7/7 in London, 2005. Peter Power of Visor Consultants admitted on the BBC they were running drills of the exact same time in the exact same trains and buses and places. So Amalgam Virgo's, the terror drills being run around Miami, sharing a name, sharing some of the same ops, with one of the drills going on 9/11. And again, we always implore you to check out the work of Webster Tarpley on the terror drills surrounding 9/11. But we have a couple of updates to this. Microsoft giving situational awareness to Super Bowl 44. This coming from a press release from Bill Gates and his CIA startup company called Microsoft. The Miami-Dade Police Department and Microsoft, with assistance from Analyst International Corporation and Environmental Systems Research Institute, coordinating intel efforts surrounding Super Bowl 44 by enhanced information sharing and intelligence gathering made possible through a new Fusion Center collaboration solution. Leveraging information across multiple jurisdictions at the local, regional, and national level, justice and public safety officials responsible for securing Super Bowl 44 will use Fusion Core Solution to more effectively identify and prevent threats potentially posed by organized crime, gangs, drug cartels, and terrorists. Fusion centers. Just like the NSA collecting data. Federal, state, local, all being conjoined. So they're using software to collect all this info. You should check out a little bit of software called PROMIS, Prosecutors Management Information System, I believe, PROMIS, and how that ties into the Inslaw affair. Long story short, basically the Department of Justice stole the software from these developers that was basically amazing AI software that you could look in real time and see what was going on situationally, geopolitically, financially, all around the world. So they stole it from the developers, installed a backdoor, and then turned around and sold it to other nations. Check out the work of Danny Casolaro, who was discovered suicided in his hotel room in Martinsburg, West Virginia, collecting work on what he called the octopus. We've discussed with James Corbett of Corbett Report, P-TECH, the software that ran on FAA and DOD and many other computer networks on 9/11, again, giving you the backdoor operational overview. P-TECH has been run by someone listed on the International Terror List. You can't make this up. Look up P-TECH. Look up PROMIS. Google it. Read a book. So, a lot of terror drills going on, not just surrounding the Super Bowl, and we're going to get to some of them, such as mock terrorism training exercise held in Minneapolis, That's from WCCO.com. But the art that I posted up along with this posting on FAA and NORAD to control airspace around Super Bowl 44, I put up the movie poster for a 1977 film called Black Sunday, based on the novel by Thomas Harris and directed by John Frankenheimer. We'll hop over to Wikipedia and I'll give you the quick rundown. See if this sounds vaguely familiar. Bruce Dern is an American blimp pilot deranged by years of torture as a prisoner of war in Vietnam, a failed marriage, and a bitter court-martial. He longs to commit suicide and take as many people as possible with him, so he conspires with Dalia Iyad, an operative from a Palestinian terrorist group known as Black September, to launch a massive suicide bombing on American soil. Lander plans to detonate a flechette-based bomb housed on the underside of a blimp over the Miami Orange Bowl during Super Bowl X between Pittsburgh and Dallas. American and Israeli intelligence agencies, led by Mossad agent, played by Robert Shaw, and FBI agent, played by Fritz Weaver, race to prevent the catastrophe. The President of the United States is also attending the game. The film was a commercial hit, released in 77. And there are other things that tie in with Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford and the Miami Dolphins and blimps and differences between the novel and the film, yada yada. This story is basically a war veteran who didn't get the care he needed after fighting a war based on lies. Now he's a homegrown terrorist. He's joining up with Black September, or Al-Qaeda, if you will. So the FBI and the Mossad have to get together to stop it. And it just so happens to be at the Miami location. Predictive programming, perhaps. I also want to leave you with the reminder that John Frankenheimer is also the director of the original Manchurian Candidate, about a mind-controlled assassin. I also like to remind you of my interview last September with author Peter Lavenda of the trilogy Sinister Forces, where we go over Roman Polanski and his connection to the occult, and the Manson family, all of that. And the interesting note that John Frankenheimer had a dinner party at his house in L.A. on June 5th, 1968, where, among other folks, some of the guests were Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate, who would be dead just over a year later. Of course, Rosemary's Baby coming out, connections with the occult. The guest of honor that night was Robert F. Kennedy, and he would be driven to the Ambassador Hotel that night by John Frankenheimer, the director of The Manchurian Candidate, a film about a mind-controlled assassin attempting to assassinate a presidential candidate. Frankenheimer drove Bobby to the Ambassador Hotel, where he would be killed by what many, including lawyers such as William Pepper, say was a mind-controlled assassin. Frankenheimer, Manchurian Candidate, Black Sunday, predictive programming. Let's now get into all of the other terror drills, domestic terror drills, and the rehearsal of misfortune. Let's hop over to the District of Criminals. DC Metro Transit Police staged large anti-terrorism drill. This, of course, from the CIA's favorite newspaper, the Washington Post. Metro Transit Police staged their largest anti-terror sweep ever during Tuesday, February 2nd, morning's rush hour. About 50 officers, some toting M4 rifles and others guiding bomb-sniffing dogs, took up position in Union Station in a new initiative aimed at discouraging attacks. In coming months, they plan to hold similar drills for the effort, dubbed Blue Tide, Tide being Terrorism Identification and Deterrence Effort. A delegation of senior Indian police officers observed Tuesday's drill. They are very interested in the technology used in the U.S. to help prevent attacks, said Deputy Chief Earhart M. Olson of the Metro Transit Police. We'll mention again here why we pay attention to the drills is, one, they're practicing to take over your cities. Do you get it? It also acclimates us to seeing SWAT team, black stormtrooper thugs all over the place. Those are just two of the main reasons. And it goes on. NORAD sends F-16s over Ohio in domestic hostile acts exercise. This by way of the Canton Rep, cantonrep.com out of Canton, Ohio. If you looked at the sky Thursday, February 4th afternoon, you might have seen the fighting Falcons overhead. The F-16 dogfighter aircraft playing maneuvers over the Canton area as part of an air defense training staged by Toledo-based Ohio Air National Guard 180th Fighter Wing. NORAD coordinated the mock defense maneuvers nationwide, preparing military personnel to identify and defend against domestic hostile acts such as the 9/11 attacks. The other aircraft will be flown by pilots under contract who will pose as enemy combatants. That would be the red team playing the bad guys in the terror drills and in the war games. And in the compartmentalized world of the military-industrial complex and the black op intelligence groups, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. Rogue elements. And that's essentially the story from the top down, from the banks to the government to the media. Rogue elements infiltrated our institutions and have subverted them. They owe no allegiance to any country or belief. They're multi-generational serial killers. And in these terror drills, sometimes those playing the red team, the bad guys, sometimes they're successful. Again, research the drills on 9/11, 7/7. And it goes on. Because you know what else is starting soon? The Terror Olympics in Vancouver, Canada. Domestic threats, biggest Olympic security concern. This from the CBC. A University of Calgary expert in modern terrorism says small disruptions by domestic groups are the most likely security threat to the upcoming 2010 Winter Games in Vancouver, but organizational issues are also a critical concern. Vancouver is set to capture the world's attention for 16 days when the Olympic Winter Games begin later this month. But with that global spotlight comes some of the world's biggest problems and a heightened risk of terror. This according to Michael Zakulin, a PhD candidate researching contemporary terrorism in the UFC's political science department. In today's world, the Olympic Games represent a very real target for terrorism. It provides groups with the potential for large casualties and immediate global attention. So one thing we'll mention, and I think I learned this from Richard Grove, is when you hear these things that they say, and if you've done the research and know that they're behind the terror, they're talking about themselves. The terrorists hate us for our freedoms. The Olympic Games are a great target for terror. Large casualties, global attention, a catalyzing catastrophic event in order to ram draconian legislation down our throats. Something else that happens during a lot of demos, demonstrations, protests, if you will, is you'll have what's referred to as a false flag attack. You'll have cops dressed up as protesters, or even just protesters who have been funded and trained by Delta Force, like in the Battle of Seattle. They're the ones that come in and cause violence and slip away. We've seen it many, many times. We almost saw it in Montebello, Canada, a year or so ago. You'll recall the photos when those protesters were arrested. They all had the same exact boots issued that the cops arresting them did. And, of course, they disappeared soon thereafter. So I hope a lot of this is sinking in. I would implore you to check out, like I said, the work of Webster Tarpley discussing the rogue networks and the terror drills. Of course, always go to historycommons.org and check out their complete 9/11 timeline going into the terror drills and the war games. And of course, you know, Condi and Bush saying, well, we had no idea that anyone would ever use a plane and hijack it and crash it in. Even though they had been drilling and practicing for that very thing, not only in the weeks and moments of, weeks leading up to and moments of 9/11, but in the years before. The G8 summit in Genoa, in months prior to 9/11, they had anti-aircraft missile batteries set up outside. Why? Because they didn't want kamikaze attacks. Investigate the drills. Now, yes, it may seem crazy because we talk about all these drills and you always say something's going to happen, but it never does. I'm not saying something's going to happen. I'm saying pay attention to these drills because in the past, things have happened during them. So we've referenced the specter of 9/11 hangs over all of this. Implicitly and explicitly. So let's jump to the latest 9/11 updates. And we're going to start off with an article, of course, from the old gray lady from the New York Times. This jumping back to Sunday, January 31st. U.S. drops plans for 9/11 trials in New York City. The Obama administration last Friday gave up on its plan to try the 9/11 plotters in Lower Manhattan, bowing to almost unanimous pressure from New York officials and business leaders to move the terror trial elsewhere. I think we can acknowledge the obvious. We're considering other options, an administration official said. The reversal on whether to try the alleged 9/11 terrorists blocks from the former World Trade Center site seemed to come suddenly this week after media mogul Mayor Michael Bloomberg abandoned his strong support for the plan and said the cost and disruption would be too great. But behind the brave face that many New Yorkers had put on for weeks, resistance had been gathering steam. After a dinner in New York on December 14th, Stephen Spinola, president of the Real Estate Board of New York, pulled aside David Axelrod, Obama's closest advisor, to convey an urgent plea, move the 9/11 trial out of Manhattan. More recently, a series of presentations to business leaders, local elected officials, and community representatives of Chinatown, Police Commissioner Raymond W. Kelly laid out his plan for securing the trial, blanketing a swath of Lower Manhattan with police checkpoints, vehicle searches, rooftop snipers, and canine patrols. They were not received very well. Let's get the mainstream media Associated Press take on the U.S., i.e. Obamasiya, dropping plans for 9/11 trials in New York.
Opposition to the government's plan to have the September 11th terrorist trial in Lower Manhattan continues to intensify, just a day after New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg revealed he's changed his mind in hopes the trial will be held elsewhere. New York Governor David Paterson says he wants to talk with federal officials about a change of venue. Senator Charles Schumer has already called the White House.
This afternoon, I called the White House and told them that I thought it would be a very good idea that they look for alternative sites.
Last month, the Obama administration announced that professed September 11th mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others would be tried at federal court in New York City. Earlier this week, six senators wrote to Attorney General Eric Holder, lobbying him to move the trial. The letter said in part, "You will be providing one of the most visible platforms in the world to exalt their past acts and to rally others in support of further terrorism." Thursday, Mayor Bloomberg called the AG.
There are places that would be less expensive for the taxpayers and less disruptive for New York City. For example, military bases away from central cities where it is easier to provide security at much less cost.
New York City estimates it will cost hundreds of millions of dollars to provide security for the trial, for which a date has not been set. Brian Thomas, The Associated Press.
Now, in addition to all the other supplemental leaks we have in this posting from Bloomberg and Seattle Times, historycommons.org, on and on and on. It's also, I think, important to note that the guys that they were going to bring here for trial are the only ones who said they already intend to plead guilty. Those are the guys that have been beaten, KSM admitting to things he couldn't possibly have done because they weren't built, you know. So, again, this is a dog and pony show, but it's always waving the bloody shirt and reminding us of 9/11. We don't need military tribunals and trials for mostly tortured patsies. We need a real independent investigation with subpoena power. Republicans unite to halt trials of alleged 9/11 plotters. This from the AFP. U.S. lawmakers last Tuesday unveiled plans to block public funding for U.S.-based trials involving Gitmo detainees who are accused of plotting 9/11. Republican lawmakers Frank Wolf and Lindsey Graham joined forces to introduce legislation which, quote, would explicitly block this dangerous and wasteful trial from any domestic civilian court. They also got support from Democrats Jim Webb and Blanche Lincoln, as well as independent Senator Joe Lieberman. If approved, the legislation would stop the Justice Department from using public funds to try the alleged mastermind of the 2001 attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his four co-accused, in domestic U.S. courts. Our last bit of 9/11 update is a whole lot of 9/11 updates from the aforementioned fantastic, indispensable, complete 9/11 timeline on historycommons.org. They took a hiatus for a few weeks, but a lot of new entries have been posted to the 9/11 timeline recently. D.C. Air National Guard on 9/11 and the many deaths of Osama are just some of the updates. The largest chunk of them covers events at the D.C. Air National Guard, based at Andrews Air Force Base, on the day of. Initially, officers assumed that the first crash into the World Trade Center was an accident. However, after the second crash, Andrews learned the Secret Service wanted fighters launched. Although the Secret Service then said it didn't want them on the phone, pilots started overriding recent exercise data on their flight disks. Exercise data, the drills. There are also several new entries about Osama bin Laden and Emmanuel Goldstein, for whom Al-Qaeda offered to arrange a TV interview in October 01. After the interview had been done, Western Intel naturally managed to come into possession of it before it was broadcast by Al Jazeera. We've, of course, referenced Site and Intel Center and Rita Katz and their connections to Israeli intelligence. We also have some more about bin Laden's health. He died of lung problems in December 2001. He was killed and buried in an earthquake in 2005, and he expired in Iran in 2006, all of which makes his near-death condition in 2007 remarkable. Now, all of those things have tons of links to the entries on the complete 9/11 timeline, and we even just had two new singles recently released from Emmanuel Goldstein. One attacking the Obamasiah, and the other pushing the man-made global warming hoax. Climate control. Carbon dioxide is plant food. You may have gone over that in school, I'm not sure. Is the environment a wreck? Of course. Is it your fault? Well, you've been forced to use the technologies by the same corporations who not only shelved those better technologies, whether that be electric cars or, I don't know, hemp. We're now going to pay our carbon taxes to them, to the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, and funds set up by Al Gore and Goldman Sachs. We have so much more threadaganda surrounding all the Super Bowl police state exercising. But let me take a moment, my friends, and remind you that we're now into hour number two of episode 156 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's February 5th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. Blasting out, originating from the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org. And again, quickly, thanks to the wonderful affiliates, ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, PhantomRadio.org, FrOlympia.org, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, StickAM.com/GroundZeroRadio, OneSkyRadio.com, CascadiaPublicRadio.org.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
And Radio23.org. If you're out there, wherever, however you get or hear the show, if you know about a low-power FM broadcast or internet radio station that would like to rebroadcast Media Monarchy, please, you don't have to ask. But you can get in touch with me, email, MediaMonarchy@Yahoo.com, or Gmail. We also recently have set up, thanks to Jeff at Radio23.org, a high-quality download feed for the podcast. They're in 192 kilobits per second. So it's a pretty chunky file, but if you're re-streaming Media Monarchy, it's the best way to go. feeds.feedburner.com/MediaMonarchyHD. And now we return to Police State International, Threataganda rising, and more war horrors. So you may recall we referenced the Halloween-esque Scarefest recently. The intelligence chiefs, they're certain that Al-Qaeda will stage terror soon. A piece written jointly, Paul Joseph Watson and Kurt Nimmo. Using information gleaned from the blatantly set-up underwear bomber patsy, Umar Abdul-Muttalab, intelligence chiefs have assured us that their bosses, and again, those bosses are the ones we've referred to, the multi-generational serial killers, the international coterie, the finance oligarchs, they owe no allegiance to any country or belief. They just know they're elite and you're little people. And they and their families and their bloodlines have been working on overall a war on consciousness, but also a eugenics operation. But I digress. Beginning again. Using information gleaned from the blatantly set-up underwear bomber patsy, intelligence chiefs have assured us that their bosses will stage another terror attack in the U.S. within the next 3 to 6 months. According to the nation's intelligence chiefs, a terror attack in the United States will likely be launched within the next 6 months. ABC News has learned some of the intelligence has come from the accused Christmas Day bomber. That from ABC News and CNN. We also have links to the Washington Post. Despite the fact that the official story behind the Christmas Day bombing has been discredited beyond all recognition, the establishment still constantly invoking it as yet another reason for Americans to obediently line up for naked body scans in fear of whatever boogeyman is being waved in front of their faces this week. We want to reference a Washington Post article, criticism of Obama on national security likely to remain a big issue. This goes into the treatment of the underwear bomber. But the latest update from Kurt Haskell, HaskellFamily.blogspot.com, the eyewitness on Flight 253, contending from the very beginning that Muttalab had a well-dressed handler, Mutalab looked kind of drugged and out of it. The well-dressed guy basically said, he's from Sudan and we do this all the time. He didn't go through the flight check. He didn't have a passport. Turns out he was on the terror list. What we now know, this also by way of DETnews.com, is that most likely the sharp-dressed man who aided Mutalab onto Flight 253 was an intelligence agent, possibly a U.S. government agent. We now know, and we have learned, through what's dripped and drabbed out on the debriefing of the underwear patsy, that just like in every other terror event where on the front side they say we had no idea this was going to happen. However, hours later, they know everything about them. They've got their passports, where they've been, what they were up to. And it's always because we know who they are. We're tracking them. Just as alleged 9/11 hijackers got into the country, even though good folks tried to stop them, Colleen Rowley, J. Michael Springman, they said, these guys are terrorists. Yeah, we know. Let them in. Their terror designation is just a cover. They are a part of a larger operation, so we're watching them. Somehow, they always manage to slip through and pull off some ham-fisted operation, which, of course, doesn't stop the mainstream media from shouting it from the rooftops in the nation's airports, go into police state lockdown, and further, we're desensitized to this shit. And we put up with it. So you won't hear this on the front of the newspapers. Mutalab was being tracked. We knew about him ahead of time. It's also spilled out in an article that the FBI finally reversed their story after reversing it three or four times, even though Kurt Haskell's story stayed the same since Christmas Day. That, oh yeah, there was some other guy helping Mutalab onto the plane. We weren't sure about that, but we'll admit it in the bottom paragraph buried. The American public doesn't read. They know how to see big flashy graphics on the 24/7 news channels, but they won't do the research for themselves to see that it was all a bunch of bullshit. I'm going to keep my cool. Let's listen to the intel chiefs telling us that patsies and Al-Qaeda, they are certain to stage terror in the next 3 to 6 months.
The country's top experts in terrorism had a message today for lawmakers on Capitol Hill. It's us or them. The head of national intelligence says Al-Qaeda will continue to target the U.S. until Osama bin Laden and his lieutenants are dead. The comments come a little more than a month after the latest unsuccessful terror strike. This, on the same day, we learned the man charged with trying to bring down an airliner on Christmas Day had more to say and started talking again just 4 days ago. National correspondent Catherine Herridge reports.
Right out of the gate, the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee asked the panel, which included the nation's top intelligence official, the CIA director, the FBI director, and their counterpart, the Defense and State, the bottom line question.
What is the likelihood of another terrorist attempted attack on the U.S. homeland in the next 3 to 6 months? High or low? Mr. Blair?
An attempted attack, the priority is certain, I would say.
Mr. Panetta?
I would agree with that.
The ranking Republican said the decision to send the alleged bomber on Flight 253 to criminal court, where he got a lawyer and stopped providing information, was catastrophic.
Enemy combatants must be questioned to the fullest by the intelligence community before, if they are Mirandized, before they are Mirandized and given an attorney.
In his most detailed public account, the FBI director explained how the decision was made.
Rested in with the head of our counterterrorism division, along with attorneys from the Department of Justice.
And Mueller said reading a suspect his or her rights did not always limit intelligence gathering.
Mr. Abdul Muttalib, has provided valuable information. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. And that the interrogation continues despite the fact that he's been Mirandized.
Yes.
Having initially told Congress earlier this month that he was not consulted about the Abdul-Muttalib decision, the Director of National Intelligence now said he supports it.
And I think the balance struck in the Muttalib case was an understandable imbalance. We got good intelligence.
One of the most compelling exchanges was between Republican Senator Hatch and the Director of National Intelligence on how closing Guantanamo makes the U.S. safer.
Is there an intelligence or analysis that the threat from Al-Qaeda would be diminished?
You're a much better lawyer than I am, Senator Hatch, but I'm trying to say is it's a factor that helps the enemy.
Which led to an extraordinary debate among the panel members about the Christmas bomber and the 9/11 trial venue.
Madam Chairman, if I could finish, all I do have a problem with is I think it's stupid to put the whole country through this mess because the Attorney General feels like it might be a better way of doing things.
I've really got to correct the message. First, the policy was really established during the regime of Ronald Reagan.
A policy Feinstein says treats terrorists as criminals, and with today's hearing, a very political debate over the handling of Abdul-Muttalib begins a new chapter with testimony that the no-fly list has expanded and that the 23-year-old suspect is providing intelligence even though he was read his rights. Given the confusion on December 25th, a larger question is what framework does the administration propose for future cases?
That clip pretty much covers just about everything. The Patsy, the underwear bomber Patsy, New York terror trials. In light of all that, we now have referenced on cyberspacewar.com that the House passed the cybersecurity bill, ratcheting up the threatiganda, the paranoia. Again, we'll reference that amid the media blackout, congressional hearing reveals U.S. intelligence agencies shielded Flight 253 bomber. More on that from redactednews.blogspot.com. Lee Rogers has an interesting piece over on roguegovernment.com going into one of those other unidentified witnesses that was briefly featured in a news report. This goes into the speculation and the question, was this woman, and there are some photo comparisons, was she a Mossad asset? Question. And then we get into all the other related police state updates, war horror, TSA, paranoia. Radiation Safety Group says the naked body scanners increase risk of cancer. We've told you that before. Backscatter, scrambling your DNA, and it's even been noted they're not very good at detecting bomb parts. However, they are good at demeaning the masses. Arrested TSA worker asked girl to be his sex slave. That's by way of raw story. USA Today has airport security plan calling for 500 body scanners by 2011. And into the North American Union virtual border fence plagued by glitches and long delays. That sources back to azcentral.com. And of course, I suppose it ties in with the hacked, glitchy presidency. The cyberspace war coming. Obama opponents urge census boycott. This is from The Guardian. This ratcheting up the homegrown errorism meme. Angry white racists who hate Obama are going to get violent. Preemptively painting what's been going on and what possibly will happen with the census situation. Little history mystery note we throw in here to ease us into the rest of the war horror updates. Plans to oust Saddam drawn up 2 years before the invasion. That's from independent.co.uk. Again, all wars based on deception. We're ready to go into Afghanistan before 9/11. We were amassing ships. Carpet of gold or carpet of bombs. Patriot Act was written, waiting for a catastrophic catalyzing event. An I Patriot Act is waiting for the catastrophic cyberspace war event. And then they'll really get their license, driver's license for the internet, and the internet too. Uruknet.com and Sherwood Ross asks the question, why is America in so many wars? Well, I think we've kind of told you that. We've been hijacked by rogue networks. War is peace. Defense contractors go offshore to avoid payroll taxes. Why don't you try that? See what happens. That's from allgov.com. U.S. military spending keeps growing and growing. More on that from newsjunkiepost.com. Pentagon's black budget tops $56 billion. Let's hit up Danger Room and read just a little bit of this. The Defense Department just released its king-sized $708 billion budget for the next fiscal year, which I've provided as PDF links if you subscribe to the feed. The PDF already came down for you. So again, prove Alan Dulles wrong that the American public does read. Much of the proposed spending is fairly detailed, noting exactly how many helicopters the Pentagon plans to buy and how many troops it plans on playing. But about $56 billion goes simply to classified programs or to projects known only by their code names like Chalk Eagle and Link Plumeria. That's the Pentagon's black budget. Do you think they're acting in your interest, your best interest? More from allgov.com. The Prince of Peace Prize. Obamasiya increases spending for nuclear weapons in a twist of logic. Nobel Peace Prize winner Obama is claiming the nation must spend more money on nuclear weapons in order to get rid of them. Nobel Peace Prize winner Barack Obama ups spending on nuclear weapons to even more than George Bush. Vote for the left, vote for the right. The agenda stays the same. They put in their front men. They move the nuclear football down the field, if I can use more labored Super Bowl analogies. Their front man does the best they can, and then their crap becomes unbelievable in the case of the previous puppet, and so we bring in a slick new one. And the agenda goes forward. More wars, more spying, more black ops. Well, just give them a chance. Robert Gates seeks to change out-of-date vision of military challenges. That's from CNN, and more from finance.yahoo.com. Gates tries to get F-35 program back on course. We've referenced many, many times Robert Gates. No stranger to black ops himself, being connected to Brzezinski and funding and training the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, which would, of course, become Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, the base, the database. So even if you believe the official story of this whole WWF shell game dog and pony show, we funded and trained these guys who supposedly hate us for our freedoms. This whole episode has kind of been strange in a way where I find that older bits of media are still so completely relevant. So whether it's Jockarama and the Dead Kennedys, or Negative Land and Dyspepsy, we're now back to the chorus of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Defense Chiefs support Don't Ask, Repeal. That's from Raw Story. Again, allgov.com breaks it down. Gays in the military is no big deal in 30 other countries. So I guess in some small way, I, you know, slightly apologize for my sports hatred, Dead Kennedys and Jacarama. But a lot of that kind of ties in with my hatred of the military as well. So let's go to one of the best, the late, great Bill Hicks, and get his take on gays in the military.
Never seen my attitude in the press. That's what bugs me. You never seen my point of view. For instance, gays in the military. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it. Gays want to be in the military. Here's how I feel about it. All right? Anyone dumb enough to want to be in the military should be allowed in. End of fucking story. That should be the only requirement. I don't care how many push-ups you can do. Put on a helmet, go wait in that foxhole. We'll tell you when we need you to kill somebody. You know what I mean? I'm so sick. I've watched these fucking congressional hearings and all these military guys and all the pundits seriously. Oh, the esprit de corps will be affected and we are such a moral... Excuse me, aren't y'all fucking hired killers? Shut up! You are thugs, and when we need you to go blow the fuck out of a nation of little brown people, we'll let you know. Until then... Where the fucking military get all these more? We are the military. Is that a village of children and kids? Where's the neighbors? I don't want any gay people hanging around me while I'm killing kids. I just don't want to see it. Don't tell me this military protects our freedom. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, there ain't no one out there who's a fucking threat to us, okay? They don't exist. Oh, I'm talking now only of countries we don't arm first, all right? If you want to split hairs, you've got a point.
Bill, what about the nations we sell arms to and then go pull the fuck out of them?
Okay, they might be scary for about a day. We give them the old weapons, we use the new ones on them, you know. Fucking Iraq found that out, huh? You have the Scud, we have the Patriot.
The Scud fires you,
you fucks. Just keep selling them the shitty shit, you know. We're fighting the next of the muskets. America won a war with us.
Yeah, 100 years ago.
We got new shit now.
The late, great Bill Hicks died nearly 16 years ago. And yet, all his work, which is an understatement to call it stand-up comedy. But I think that sums it up pretty well. Let's get the last bit of Police State International Threataganda Rising and more War Horrors updates. Marine Corps Air Station leads disaster drill. That's Operation Desert Eagle 2010, happening in Yuma, Arizona. Interestingly enough, activists sneak into nuke base. That's by way of Danger Room, and the video, not actually sure of its origin. Let's click the link, let's find out. Walking into a NATO base. Well, I'm not sure where they're out of, but you can see it. Fort Stewart conducted Exercise 2009 Stewart Guardian. Should take a look at Fort Stewart. Intel chief acknowledges U.S. may target Americans involved in terrorism. Of course, Obama's kept that in place. We can assassinate American citizens abroad if they are suspected of being involved in the international paranoia. UK Army may patrol streets to confront terror threat. Again, from the Independent. And what terror threat is that? The only threats coming is the threataganda coming from the military-industrial complex and their rogue networks. Serial killers and banksters. That's it. Counterterrorism police stationed on UK campuses. That's from The Guardian. Again, back to our own budget. Billions more for counterterror. Ratcheting it up. And we'll last note from military.com. Officials look for clues in fatal Black Hawk crash. That was this past Wednesday. And it all connects. Our next post from Politics Daily. Obama administration's vision is war without end. Suicide bombers inside the United States. Nuclear-armed nations collapsing and losing control of nuclear weapons. Bloody new conflicts like Iraq and Afghanistan. American troops under attack at bases around the world. Terrorist attacks using unknown new diseases. Chinese missile attacks on Taiwan. The Obama administration has unveiled a scary new view of the global security landscape and a new strategy intended to protect Americans and U.S. allies. It's a sharp change from previous Pentagon strategic assessments in that it focuses on the wars Americans are currently fighting rather than on future conflicts in which the United States might be involved. And that future, in the Pentagon's view, is quite grim. As I've said many, many times before, I try my best to provide you with the contextual supplemental information to do the research for yourself. We've included the Quadrennial Defense Review Report. You can download it from defense.gov. It's a 7-meg PDF. White papers written by white people and think tanks. They give our branches their marching orders. And these things all tie in. It all ties in to the Foundation Fund, the media, the roundtable groups, the scholarships, the roads. We're going to get into that. Let's jump over to the February 4th news purge and get the latest updates on geopolitics, mystery, mayhem, and more on Obamasiah. We, of course, have more updates on the unfortunate Haitian situation. Americans arrested taking children out of Haiti.
33 Haitian children from 2 months to 12 years in age are safe tonight in a Port-au-Prince orphanage, recovering from what authorities here call a child trafficking scheme.
All these children were really desperate. They were hungry. They were thirsty. There were also babies which were dehydrated.
Across town, 10 American Baptists sit in a jail accused of trying to spirit the children out of the country. The group was arrested at the Dominican border Friday night.
When they asked for the documents of the children, they had the documents.
We were told by a number of people, including Dominican authorities, that we would be able to bring the children across.
The Americans, most from two churches in Idaho, say they were trying to save children orphaned by the earthquake. Some of the children tell a different story.
An elder girl, might be 8 or 9 years old, told us crying, "I'm not an orphan. I do have my parents. I thought I'm going to a boarding school or to a summer camp."
Innocently or not, the Americans stepped into a hornet's nest of controversy. After the quake, the Haitian government stopped all adoptions, fearing lost, abandoned, or orphaned children would be even more vulnerable to traffickers than before.
It's very important that every measure is taken to trace their families and reunite these children with their families, either their immediate families or their extended families.
The pastor of the Central Valley Baptist Church calls it all a terrible misunderstanding.
I know there have been illegal activity that's been going on down there. It's unfortunate that we would be associated with that.
The Americans are being held pending a hearing tomorrow. Meanwhile, aid agencies are registering children who have been separated from their families in hopes of reuniting them soon. Kelly?
Bill, so why are the Haitians taking such drastic action to try and prevent adoptions following the earthquake?
Well, unfortunately, Haiti has a long history of children being trafficked for adoption to wealthy nations overseas, and they fear that in the chaos of this quake, that unscrupulous people might come in to take advantage of these vulnerable children. Kelly?
Bill Whitaker reporting from Haiti tonight. Bill, thanks so much.
We have unfortunately touched on human trafficking. Of course, even our favorite military contractors like Dyncorp and Halliburton have been busted time and time again, kidnapping people, sex slave rings. We've had activists warning about the Haitian situation. Watch out for organ thieves. We've seen articles by way of Cryptogon sourcing books written from investigative journalists.
basically being scarred by the investigative work they did into the slave trade in Haiti. But there's more on this story of American Baptists and child trafficking. More from Reuters and Press TV. But more on the Haitian situation from CTV. Formaldehyde-laced trailers may be sent to Haiti. So I guess what's good for New Orleans and Katrina is good for Haiti. Their prime minister says that probably more than 200,000 dead. That's from Raw Story. However, from NewsJunkiePost.com, the interesting note that some say the U.S. military is nowhere to be found in Port-au-Prince. And a Democrat calls for U.S. relief head in Haiti to step down. Heck of a job, Brownie. On through the geopolitical scene, there's an article posted up on Newsweek.com, and it's called Enough is Enough. And in it, Council on Foreign Relations President Richard Haass demands regime change in Iran. You should, of course, do your homework on the Council on Foreign Relations and Cecil Rhodes. Tragedy and hope, indeed. So if the president of the CFR is talking regime change in Iran, as they've been beating that drum for many, many years now, perhaps they're just working on a new Operation Ajax. If you recall, I believe in 1953, the CIA overthrew the democratically elected president of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh. He was educated in the West and was fairly progressive. See, the Western finance oligarchs and their enforcement arms and rogue networks, they don't really like stable leaders in countries that have resources we'd like to exploit. So anytime we get some progressive guy who was going to actually make a more stable world order, we have to overthrow those guys and put in brutal dictators. That's how we roll, friends. Senate quietly passes Iran sanctions bill. That's from truthout.org. U.S. raises stakes on Iran by sending in ships and missiles. That's from The Guardian. U.S. beefs up military presence off Iranian shores. That's from Iran's own PressTV.ir. And on it goes. U.S. says 200 troops on the ground in Pakistan. That's from Danger Room. Amazingly, the Big Brother Corporation gets into the long history of Israel's covert killing. Such as this new article from allgov.com. Israel finally admits to using white phosphorus in Gaza. CIA chief holds secret talks with Egypt and Israel. More on that from Global Research. China threatens sanctions over arms sale to Taiwan. Sydney Morning Herald and the Los Angeles Times goes more into that situation. Thousands in Tokyo protest against U.S. troops in Japan. Yes, that's right, we have U.S. troops in Japan. The International Military Industrial Complex. The only thing that can probably put a stop to it is, unfortunately, what folks like Ron Paul have said, is that we've run out of capital. Romania to host U.S. missile shield. I knew we'd find some Eastern European country we could lean on. Herman Van Rompuy. R-O-M-P-U-Y. He's the new president of the European Union. And according to the Telegraph, some are accusing him of acting like a king. Gosh, why ever would he do that? The latest from CampaignForLiberty.com and Dr. Ron Paul, Yemen on the brink, implications for U.S. policy. So again, all wars based on deception. The fumbly black op known as the Flight 253 underwear bomber that we now know is completely discredited. He had an intelligence handler and they were tracking him from the beginning. This gives the powers that be the political capital now to do what they've wanted to do in Yemen, but didn't have the public will behind them. Hopefully you see a pattern. This can be a little repetitive sometimes, but it all connects. And as I joked recently in my line of work, you got to keep repeating the same thing over and over again. Catapult the propaganda. A few history mystery notes. Controversial author and historian Eustace Mullins, dead at the age of 86. More on this from therightperspective.org. Legendary author of hundreds of books and pamphlets demolishing the lies of war, making mainstream media. Historian Eustace Mullins died Tuesday, February 2nd, in the home of his caretaker in a small town in Texas. He was the author of books such as Secrets of the Federal Reserve, Murder by Injection, and The Curse of Canaan. Mullins was harassed by the FBI for almost half a century and had one of his books burned in Germany in the 50s. These stories are recounted in one of his books, A Writ for Martyrs. He was a protege of Ezra Pound. They basically exposed the fraudulent Federal Reserve. However, when you start to swim in these waters, you find yourself on rinse.com, and you find yourself swimming in the waters of folks into Holocaust questioning, and the Jews run everything. Eustace Mullins is an important figure, and his work is worth investigating. That's just my caveat for you. All the things I reference on here or link to, I don't wholeheartedly support. Again, do the research for yourself. Vietnam vets allowed to proceed with lawsuit over drug experiments. Oh, that's right, the military does experiments on people. And if you're lucky, when you're dying later, decades and decades later, they might run a, oh, we're sorry. Human experimentation. The last couple things here on History Mystery is a new piece from Evan Long. EvanLong.tk. You may recall, last April on MediaMonarchy.com, we interviewed Evan Long about his full-length documentary investigation called The Columbine Calls. He has a new four-part YouTube video unraveling the sheriff's official line. And I don't want to seem like one of those people who says, oh, everything's a conspiracy. I don't believe that the Illuminati pulls every string, makes every little single thing happen. But the big events, the terror events, like 9/11, or the underwear bomber, or Columbine, are all fraught with inconsistencies and lies and problems. I highly recommend going back and checking out my interview with Evan Long of The Columbine Calls. A few murder and mayhem notes. Body of lottery winner found buried in Florida. That's from the BBC, and I believe the guy basically said before he died that winning the lottery was the worst thing that ever happened to him. And more from Copycat Effect and the Twilight Language surrounding a recent bus rampage in China. But now it's on to the Obama-Saya updates, and we already referenced this, but it's worth repeating. This time from the Daily Mail, Obama ups spending on nukes to even more than Bush. Obama's open government, not so open yet. Christian Science Monitor, Obama ups Pakistan drone strikes in assassination campaign. Again, the Washington Post covering the new fiscal year 2011 budget request. Speaking of the Department of Justice, they've basically cleared torture architects John Yoo and Jay Bybee. Now, this is Obama's Department of Justice. So what you see here is them granting a pardon, if you will, to the previous puppets, cronies, war crimes. Bush, Obama, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama. Digging through Obama's closet and finding the emperor's new clothes. That goes into Obama's Columbia and possible CIA connections. We've gone over it before. CIA, BIC. Taxpayers paid $101,000 for Pelosi planes in flight, food, and booze More on that from World News Daily. Surprise, surprise. Obama and recent Massachusetts Senate-elect Scott Brown are cousins. Gosh, I'm shocked. It's really hard to believe that all our phony misleaders are all actually related. And the last note on this news purge is a trailer and a quick review of a new documentary called American Faust, From Condi to Neo-Condi. And yes, I included this under the Obamasiah updates because, as our next story will help to further illustrate, there is no difference between the two phony parties we covered recently in the Haitian situation when Bush and Clinton and Obama all got together and said, oh, we're like family. They go fishing together. They hang out. And, of course, Poppy Bush, Bill Clinton, connected to CIA, drug running, Mena, Arkansas, Barry Seal. It's all there. Again, you just need your keywords to do some research. Mena, Arkansas, M-E-N-A. Mysterious Bush Obama meeting at the Oval Office. This from the Trailblazers blog on the Dallas Morning News. President Barack Obama hosted a pair of Bushes last Saturday morning, January 3rd, in the Oval Office. Former President George H.W. Bush and his son, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. 2 weeks ago, Jeb's brother, former President George W. Bush, was at the White House talking about Haiti relief with Obama and ex-President Bill Clinton. The White House described it as a social call, but feel free to speculate. Jeb's presence was unexpected. The White House hadn't said anything about him being invited. It's all very bipartisan. The Bushes were at the White House for just over a half hour, emerging in driving snow that over the next few hours blanketed the Capitol with snow. Good meeting, good meeting. The elder Bush, 85, and walking with a cane, said in response to a question called out by a reporter. Bush the elder hosted Obama at Texas A&M a few months back at an event celebrating community service and volunteerism and marking the 20th anniversary of his Points of Light project. If we quickly jump over to JohnTaylorGatto.com and go into the open conspiracy, you can learn all about, again, the connections between Cecil Rhodes and the Fabian Socialists. And H.G. Wells wrote a book. You may know him from The Time Machine and War of the Worlds. However, he wrote books with names also like The New World Order and The Open Conspiracy. So, decades before George Bush seemingly out of nowhere started talking about a New World Order and a thousand points of light, let's jump to The Open Conspiracy from H.G. Wells, where he says the political world of the open conspiracy must weaken, efface, incorporate, and supersede existing governments. The immediate task before all people, a planned world state, is appearing at a thousand points of light. But generations of propaganda and education may have to precede it. Sinister forces indeed. So we've mentioned Bush Obama, Black Ops, and all their central intelligence connections. But if you think that's just history mystery, let's now get updates on a story we covered last week known as Louisiana Watergate. The men arrested in Louisiana Watergate have intelligence links. There's a great piece from Gordon Duff that's up on, I believe, veteranstoday.com. I implore you to check that out. The easier read comes from Raw Story. Men arrested in Louisiana Watergate have intelligence links. Two of the three arrested, along with Acorn Pimp, quote-unquote, James O'Keefe, for maliciously tampering with Senator Mary Landrieu's, Democrat of Louisiana, phones in her New Orleans office, have ties to the U.S. intelligence community. The three accused by the FBI of aiding and abetting O'Keefe are Stan Dye, D-A-I, Robert Flanagan, and Joseph Basel, B-A-S-E-L. O'Keefe's 25, and the other three are all 24. Stan Dye's links to the intel community appear to be particularly strong. He was a speaker at Georgetown University's CIA Summer School Program with a PDF link for you. Download the proof. That was in June 09, and he's also listed as an assistant director of the Intelligence Community Center of Academic Excellence at Trinity in the District of Criminals. The university's president, Patricia McGuire, told the AP that it promoted careers in intelligence, but denied that it trained students to be spies. Trinity program received a $250,000 renewable grant from the U.S. intelligence community upon launching in 2004, that according from their own website. The CIA summer school packet also notes that Dye served as the operations officer of a Department of Defense Irregular Warfare Fellowship program. This massive article from Raw Story goes further into Stan Dye's intelligence connections, his trips to Israel, his possible training by Mossad. We do have a video by way of Talking Points Memo of pre-Louisiana Watergate events, Stan Dye talking about basically being a warfare expert and what young conservatives need to do to get involved in the intelligence community. Do you see it? Do you get the connections? Black ops. They are working against us. I don't know how much more simply I can put it. If you want the full story, again, do the reading yourself. Couple of related criminals in action. Cocaine importation agency notes. From Existentialist Cowboy, why the CIA is the world's number one terrorist organization. And, frighteningly enough, from news.com.au, newly uncovered video shows a CIA jet shooting down missionaries. This would, of course, involve a CIA drug operation that led to Peruvian fighter jets shooting down a light plane carrying American missionaries. That unfortunate video is available. So again, my friends, the men arrested in Louisiana Watergate are connected to the CIA. Would you like further illumination on this topic? Let's jump to Politico. CIA moonlights in corporate world. Yes, we covered this before. It keeps spilling out. In the new financial world order, it's in your face now that the CIA is involved in Wall Street. As if they haven't been connected at the hip from the very beginning. Read The Old Boys by Burton Hirsch, and it'll get all into OSS, which turned into CIA, and the connections to the Dulles Boys and Wall Street Banking and the New York Federal Reserve. In the midst of two wars and the fight against Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, the CIA is offering operatives a chance to peddle their expertise to private companies on the side, a policy that gives financial firms and hedge funds access to the nation's top-level intelligence talent. In one case, these active-duty officers moonlighted at a hedge fund consulting firm that wanted to tap their expertise in deception detection, the highly specialized art of telling when executives may be lying based on clues in a conversation. The men who stare at banksters, I guess. The never-before-revealed policy comes to light as the CIA and other intel agencies are once again under fire for failing to connect the dots in connection to the Christmas Day patsy. We, of course, note the flashbacks. CIA to recruit Wall Street pros, says report. That going back to June of 2009 on MediaMonarchy.com. And the interesting note, also from June of last year, Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, who's no stranger to having Council on Foreign Relations Foundation-funded blanks on The Daily Show. Jon Stewart suggests the CIA engineered the economic meltdown. We laugh because it's funny, and we laugh because it's true. Quickly, let's move through the econo crash updates as we're running out of time here. Debt bombs, occult economy, and fraud. 20 reasons our debt bomb is ready to go kaboom. That's from MarketWatch.com. Last Friday, FDIC Friday, regulators shut down banks in five states. That's 15 and counting so far for 2010. The IRS is acquiring shotguns, and we have the service request and work order linked up, fbo.gov, Federal Business Opportunities. for the enforcement arm of the Internal Revenue Service. You thinking about a tax protest? Is that? Allstate to shed agents. Toyota probe deepens amid confusion over risk. Here's an interesting one. Thanks to my man Zach for sending me this one by way of Bloomberg. Italians seek wizard's help during economic crisis. $8.3 billion, that's in dollars, spent annually on financial spells and astrology for Italians to help them in the financial world order. Occult economy indeed. You remember the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program? We have an amazing clip by way of dotconnectoruk.blogspot.com. In the video, it originates by way of MSNBC. And it's a lengthy clip, so we're going to get into it. But what it basically goes over is the TARP lie, and that's the Federal Reserve gave banks access to $23.7 trillion, not the $700 billion they were telling you about. That's the TARP lie.
I want to go back for a second to the president and his olive branch. I don't know if we still have that olive branch around here anywhere, but he has extended quite a few of them, particularly in that State of the Union speech. He's offered up what he sees as some great solutions to some of our most pressing problems, education, healthcare. We know the narratives. And while the president talks about jobs, rightly so, and stimulus money, and getting our money back from the bankers, here's the olive branch, see, he's extending this. As he has that conversation, and it's compelling, and you want to help him, you want to help him fix the process, you want to figure out a way to get rid of the influence of special interests, whether you're on the left or the right, you know it's hurting our country. But we fear that our president right now is like a man preparing to run a marathon, even with an olive branch, while ignoring the fact that he has a gigantic, I don't have a thorn crop, I'm sorry, a giant thorn in his foot. And the thorn that I'm talking about is the big TARP lie. The president continues to say in public that banks have almost paid Americans back. That is a lie. The fact is, the TARP, which Congress approved, is only 2% of the trillions of dollars in free money being provided to our banks by the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. The American people know this. They know that they are subsidizing our banking sector. And yet, the TARP lie continues to be spread by our politicians. Our problem, Mr. President, is either you don't understand it, which I doubt, I'm sure you do, you don't want the American people to understand it, which would be understandable, although I also doubt that, or perhaps you're hoping no one will notice all the other support and the big spend, the infinity from the Fed, will make the whole thing go away, which is what I really think is going on. But I'm here to tell you, the problem will not go away until you actually fix it. You see, we know, the American people know, that the CEOs of the banks turned into casinos like Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Citigroup, and AIG have paid themselves hundreds of billions of dollars building the debt bombs I was just talking about and exploiting the 0% money from the Fed and the free money they get from the Treasury. The rewards for this go to the bankers in the form of compensation, particularly the CEOs, who are the ones that decide how much risk the bank can take. Meanwhile, the risks those banks take, ultimately, the losses on all their gambling, go to us, the people, and are harvested from our labor, in the form of our taxes. And worse, the extraordinary returns offered by the bankers' fraudulent practices are like a black hole for America, sucking money that would otherwise be getting invested in our country. But why would I go through the trouble of dealing with the investment when I have a funny money machine legalized by the government over here that's done in secret at the bank? Adding insult to injury, the same giant banks are using the free money access granted to them by our political body to lend to foreign countries that seek to compete with us. The banks do this because it's more profitable for the bank CEOs to lend to them than it is to go to the trouble of lending to America, even if it's coming at America's expense. Why would we, the people, vote for you, the politicians, to do that to us? It's beyond my comprehension, and I suspect almost every other American who understands it. Mr. President, you have an ambitious agenda, which so many of us would happily support. But please, for your own sake, you need to realize that you cannot run a marathon without taking the thorn out of your foot. And the thorn is the use of taxpayer subsidies to support banks' legalized gambling and foreign lending while taking away American homes and jobs. It's still hurting us economically, and if you continue with the TARP lie, it will continue to hurt you politically.
So a bit of financial truth spilling out on the Microsoft General Electric National Broadcasting Corporation. We'll get the flip side of that in just a second, but first there's a whitewash by way of shine.yahoo.com. One day I saw this on the front of Yahoo. Ever notice weird symbols in the dollar bill? They, of course, go on to say it's all ridiculous and you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. 15 things you never noticed on a dollar bill. Ex-Bank of America chief Lewis, charged with fraud. Surprise, surprise, more Bank of America fraud. CEO Ken Lewis, charged with fraud. Swingers, Rockefeller, and the Illuminati. More on that from Dot Connector UK. And now for the flip side, on the other National Broadcasting Corporation channel, let's get a quick mention from Jim Cramer, you know, just talking about how awesome the Illuminati is.
Tim Geithner is doing a good job. Again, is that terrible to say? Can't we just come out here occasionally? Can't I, as a commentator, and say, you know what, I'm impressed by what Geithner
did. Okay, a bodyguard.
I already have one. And I feel strongly that Geithner, this is AIG, AIG, Goldman, Goldman, and you know what? The Bavarian Illuminati, the Trilateral Commission, Goldman Sachs, and the Queen of England are not all bad.
Wow. Okay. The Fed's made his point of view.
Right.
Tony has made his point of view clear. What do you think?
I think the mask is starting to slip on what's going on in the shell game of the world. Quickly running out of time, we'll jump into the lightning round to be able to blast through the last posting I have to cover, and then we'll have hit everything under the sun. Biowars and EnviroHealth updates, vaccines, quakes, and secret chemicals. Bill Gates says we must make this the decade of vaccines by way of Cryptogon, also noting, of course, the flying syringes coming from Gates, and, of course, his connections to eugenics and Planned Parenthood. Swine flu stirred profits, but fewer deaths than predicted. Sanofi Pasteur hired the RAND Corporation to determine how to vaccinate school children. More on that in a video linked up. Canadians contract Guillain-Barré syndrome after getting swine flu shots from the same doctor in the same office. Big news in the retraction of the big Lancet vaccine study. Retraction as causes of autism remain elusive. Finish it off so it doesn't suffer. Russian journalist calls for euthanasia of disabled newborns. We've mentioned the military preparing for climate change as security issue. More on that from allgov.com. Simulated volcanic eruptions to block the sun. Again, we're geoengineering the atmosphere. MoneyTeachers.org asks the question, if a massive Yellowstone eruption is only days away, more from the New York Times, hundreds of mostly tiny quakes are rattling Yellowstone Park. Detectives question climate change scientists over email leaks. That's from The Guardian. However, you should just go to climategate.tv. Nearly 17,000 chemicals remain corporate secrets. Even the EPA doesn't know what they are. More on that from naturalnews.com. And the last note on EnviroHealth, the Mid-Atlantic braces for a monster blizzard. That's what's blasting out on the front of Google News. And so it's a fairly safe, mundane way to wrap up this incendiary episode of MediaMonarchy.com. This has been episode 156, February 5th, 2010. And again, my friends, do the research for yourself. Please, spread the word. Get in touch with me, MediaMonarchy.com. You know, we like to mention some of the visitors to MediaMonarchy.com. In the last week, we had folks like MIT out of Cambridge, Human Life International out of Front Royal, Virginia, and just this morning, Con Ed out of New York City. They were reading about the Louisiana Watergate. My friends, like my man Webster Tarpley says, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.